Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
4.8 seconds remain. UCLA, the top-ranked team in the country, number one in the West, trailing by a point. Paul Winfield, who sat out most of the first half in foul trouble, scored the go-ahead basket. One last try for the Bruins of UCLA to get into the Sweet 16. Knocked out last year in the first round by Tulsa. They don't want to lose this one. Edney going the distance.
Welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens, where all the sports talk is royal, real, straight from the borough stage, Wednesday, March 4th. This is episode 221. March is here. The madness is not far away. College basketball is everywhere. I'm Gino, joined by Kevin and Darren. Please catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Give us a look. Join our pages. We want people to join our pages. If you got something to say, tell us. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff. We got college basketball games flying. Tell us who you think should win. We're going to go around the NCAA where we think the Field of 68 is coming into play. First, we're going to go around the world of sports. Let's get it going, guys. Let's start with the NFL. So, Kev?
Yeah, so I'll start with the Jets, obviously, because, you know, who else would you start with when you talk NFL? Two things the Jets did this last week. The first one was a trade. They traded Jermaine Johnson straight up for Devondre Sweat. You know, on the paper, it's like, wow, that's an NFL player for player swap. I mean, talk about rare. The details, you know, Johnson, we know, is entering his fifth-year option worth $13.4 million. He plays end. You know, except for 1 year at 7.5 sacks, he has not been a guy who's gotten there to the quarterback consistently. Part of it is because of injury. If they're playing a little bit more 3-4 defense this year, which it sounds like they may be going to, then Devondre Sweat, Sweat, 6'2", 366-pound nose tackle, who's been known as a run stopper. I mean, he's got 2 years left at a total of $3.7 million. You know, to me, no-brainer. You also get a few dollars savings in cap money where, you know, you've got some free agency options there. You know, Darren, anything not to like about the trade?
No. It's kind of a no-brainer. They weren't going to re-sign Johnson. You know, he hadn't done much. Like you said, he had the 7.5 sacks under Saleh, so that was the team that was most likely going to be most interested in him as Saleh takes over in Tennessee. And Sweat's a monster. He's a beast. And, you know, he was top five in volunteer defensive linemen and tackles for loss and in other different stats that, you know, they measured that I don't in Pro Football Focus. But I've watched him play. I followed him. He was a second-round pick coming up. Really big, strong kid. And you know what it does? I mean, with the 3-4, now you sit there and you look at the Jets and you say to yourself, okay, now McDonald becomes an outside linebacker more than a defensive end, which might be more suited for his skill set. And if they go with Arvell Reese or where they decide to go, whether it be Downs, whether it be Reese or whoever they decide to go with, but Arvell gives them that same bookend on the other side, and suddenly the defense looks stronger. You take the defensive tackles that started last year, like Juwan Briggs, you put them on the outside. You pick up a couple of other defensive ends that kind of can fit in but are bigger and just are really there for run support, and suddenly you feel like, you know, the team might be better equipped for this. Again, I'm the cockeyed Jet optimist, right? You can't go by me. But I really like the trade. I think it's kind of a no-brainer for this team.
I mean, you know, you take a look, you know, this is three trades Muji's made in the last half a year that I think we're both in agreement of that they were pretty good trades for the Jets so far on paper.
Yeah, we'll see,
how they work out. But, you know, solid job there. And then later, earlier this week, Breece Hall, they slapped the franchise tag on him, the non-exclusive one. Mm-hmm. So that's worth $14.3 million. Other teams can sign them to an offer sheet if the Jets don't match. That's two first-round picks.
Exactly.
No team's gonna do that. Nobody's gonna
give up. Remember when Washington did that when they took Randy Thomas from us? Remember that?
Yeah.
Like it was like 20 years ago. But yeah.
But this gives them until July 15th to work out a long-term extension. If they don't get one by then, he plays under the tag cost of $14 million and probably hits free agency next year.
Yeah, again. And the reality is that he's you know, he's the best player on this team. And, yep. You know, if you can keep him, great. He doesn't have a ton of mileage on him because he's been hurt a little bit. So yep. If he can stay healthy, he's dangerous. And if the O-line continues to progress, he should be pretty good, G. I mean, you know, it's not a bad week as a Jet fan this week because you see, like, you kept your best player and you made a move where it looks like you're trying to shift your defense to be a little bit more formidable. How it works, Kev, we have no idea.
We have no idea.
But right now on paper – it gives you some optimism. G?
I hate doing the franchise tag with a running back.
Especially
with a team that isn't good. I hate it. I hate
it. They're not going anywhere else with the franchise tag, so.
There's no player good enough
what
to
does that
franchise
mean?
Tag to on this team.
What does that mean? You so you're going to pay him really good money to stay here another year? Big deal. I understand you want him here. It's not a great football move though. It does nothing for you. I hate putting franchise tags on running backs that have more than 5 years in the league. I hate it.
It's a good argument.
You're not a good team. You're gonna rebuild. So what? He's gonna be here a year, and then if he leaves next year, then what? So then you still gonna have to go get a running back. I don't know. For me, it's not a great move. That's all.
We may have a couple running backs.
The backup heir apparent, though, with Braylon Allen. I mean, they do have a running back there.
By doing that, don't you stunt the growth of those other young running backs?
Well, Braylon Allen's at the ripe old age of 21. I'm not really that worried about stunting him too much. He was the youngest guy in the league when he came in. He's still a very young kid.
And coming off an injury.
So you don't know. You can get running back. I'd be stunned if the Jets don't draft another running back in the fourth or fifth round. That could be a guy that would have been a second round pick when we were kids.
Yep. Okay.
It just falls to the fourth or fifth. And see, I agree with everything you're saying. If they don't sign him long term, this gives them the extension to sign until July. If they don't sign him by July, it becomes a real like, okay, what do we do for 1 year?
Well,
I agree with you.
But if you're Brees Hall, why are you trying to stay here long term when you know for the next couple of years you're not going to be great?
Because I can blow out my knee next year and never get paid again.
Okay.
No contracts are guaranteed in the NFL, and he would have a hard time coming back. All it takes is one injury. He's got to take the money when he can.
And
running back more so than any position, in my opinion.
And from the Jet perspective, at least as far as not franchising the running back, well, the Jets are $70 million. We're so under the cap. It's not like they're hard up against the cap where this is like you're blocking other moves. So well, for that to keep Hall for 1 year at the least, I do it.
Okay.
Well, we're going to find out. We'll see if it works out or not. Hopefully they sign him. I'd like to sign him to a 3-year deal and see if we get anywhere or a 4-year deal where we can get out of it in two. You know, something like that. Because what Gino says is 100% true. Running backs after the age of 28 have a tendency to kind of fall off. Yep. Brees is getting close to that number. So his point is well taken.
Darren, any other NFL moves you liked?
Well, the Colts, they put the transition tag, the ever so elusive transition tag on Daniel Jones. Second time it's ever been done for a quarterback. Last time, Jeff George, 1996. Atlanta signed it for 1 year, $3.6 million. This was a little bit more. Wow. This was 1 year for $37.833 million. But yeah, Jeff George was the first quarterback to get the transition tag. Now we have Daniel Jones. Cardinals release Kyler Murray. He's probably a Jet look at. I'm not saying he's right. I'm not. If you've listened to this program, you know I'm not a huge Kyler Murray fan.
Yeah.
The thing about Kyler that's good is he can run and he is accurate when he has time to throw. The thing that's bad is he's short and sometimes he just heaves it up for the sake of heaving it up. So I'm not a huge fan, but I kind of get it. the Bears spent a lot of money on Drew Dolman last year, and now the rumor is he's going to retire after 5 years in the league, so they're going to have to find a new center. Yeah. They had your guy, Tyler Biadasz, in there today, I think, or yesterday, G.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati did not franchise Hendrickson, so that makes him somewhat of a free agent where they can go after. Not necessarily a fit for the Jet. He's more of a 4-3 defensive end to me than a 3-4, but you never know. The Cowboys franchise Pickens. We knew that was happening. We said Pitts last week, so we knew that. The Seahawks and the Jaguars let the two running backs go. So the, yep. So now Kenneth Walker Jr. And Travis Etienne are both free agents. And then today we had the trade. The Chiefs trade McDuffie to the Rams for four picks. They get a first round of this year. They get a fifth round of this year, a sixth round of this year, and a third round of next year. The Chiefs have been known to do this. They get a cornerback, he gets really good, and then they deal. And they did it with L'Jarius Sneed a couple years back. Hasn't worked out well for the Titans. I think McDuffie's a good cornerback. There are no real great shutdown cornerbacks anymore. The kid in Denver's the best one. Why am I blanking on his name?
Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, Surtain. His father played. Why can't I think of his name? He's probably the best one out there right now. But that's kind of really where we are. The other thing I noticed was the speed at the combine just seems to get faster and faster. It used to be like you'd see a 4.4, we go nuts, you know? Now you have like nine guys playing safety, running 4.3s, and you're like, what the hell am I watching? Now, I don't really watch the combine. I get the highlights. It's not something I could sit there for 7 hours and watch people run or jump. It's just not my thing. But, wow, these guys athletically are getting ridiculous, Kev, no?
Yeah. I mean, even the big guys who run sub fives, you know, it's like,
really?
You know, you see 350 pounds motoring down.
That was like 4.6. I mean, so NFL has a little activity going on. We have the draft coming up, and we'll get much heavier into that as we get into April, especially because the Jets have multiple picks. So Kevin and I will be really intrigued, but we'll cover the whole draft.
All right. While we're on football, Lou Holtz passed away today at the age of 89. Had a national title in 1988. Any comments, guys?
Lead the way, Kev.
Well, it was a very forgettable year in the pros when he coached the Jets back in 76 to a 3-10 record and then left before the end of the season.
Yep.
He knew he wasn't cut out for an NFL job. You know, terrific coach. I mean, William & Mary, NC State. NC State actually had working pretty well. Went to the Jets, then went back to Arkansas. I had a number three ranking in 77, winning the Orange Bowl, two other top tens with Arkansas. Went to Minnesota, then comes the Notre Dame years. Finished up with South Carolina. You know, he was the first coach to bring South Carolina to back-to-back New Year's Day bowl games.
Yeah.
Just a little thing to throw out there. But, you know, remember him more for Notre Dame. You know, that 88 team, undefeated national champs. The famous Catholics versus Convicts game where they beat Miami 31-30. You know, Jimmy Johnson goes for two after scoring the touchdowns, 45 seconds left, and the defense knocks down Steve Walsh's pass. 93, he went 11-1, finished second, beat number one Florida State. Didn't get the number one ranking, though. Florida State beat six ranked teams that year. Notre Dame beat three. But, you know, we remember Louis from mostly from Notre Dame. And, of course, once he became, you know, an ESPN guy, one-liner is pretty funny guy, you know. Darren?
Yeah, I mean, Lou Holtz, he rebuilt Minnesota. I mean, he didn't stay long because Notre Dame came up, but he took Ricky Foggy in Minnesota and made them a really competitive team. His first major coaching job was Arkansas when he got back from the NFL.
Yeah.
And they were playing Oklahoma, who was playing for the number one ranking in the country, and beat him in the Orange Bowl. And after he suspended like seven or eight guys, and everyone was like, why are you doing this? It's not fair. And he ended up winning that game. But the thing I always remember about Colts is his quotes. All right? And they weren't all funny. They were all about life. On success and discipline, without self-discipline, success is impossible, period. On life attitude, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% on how you respond to it. On problem solving, my favorite one, because this one's kind of funny. Never tell your problems to anyone. 80% don't care, and the other 20% are happy you have them. On effort, don't ever promise more than you can deliver, but always deliver more than you can promise. On perspective, it's not the load that breaks you down. It's the way you carry it. He always had something really smart to say.
Yeah,
he was a hell of a motivational coach. Everything you hear, he'd say things like, on Tuesdays, like, we're going to get creamed by those guys. On Wednesday, you know, those guys are better than us. On Thursday, hey, we might be able to keep it close. On Friday, I think we have a plan to win. And on Saturday, go out there and win. He always started off negative. A lot of credit to the other team until he could figure out his strategy. Just a great coach, G. Just a great – and Kev, just a great coach.
Yep.
249, 132, and 7, his record. He's the only coach to lead six different programs to bowl games and four in the top 15 ranking. Was the other thing that I found out. I thought it was pretty amazing.
Yep. Hell of a coach and really lifer football guy.
Okay. Let's move over to the NHL. So trade deadline Friday, 3 o'clock. So that's coming up for the NHL. Kev, what do you got?
Well, you know, we got to give it to the Dallas Stars, are the hottest team in hockey. They've won 10 in a row going into tonight's games. Second hottest would be our New York Islanders.
Yep.
They won 5 in a row. You know, the more I see him play, thank God Matthew Schaefer was not on Team Canada.
Oh, he's a stud. Well, 4 years from now, when it's him and McCarr running the power play, good luck.
My God.
Everybody on the planet, by the way.
So a few Matthew Schaefer things. He's the first rookie to 20 goals this year. First time ever a rookie defenseman has been the first one to 20 goals in a season. He is now the third most goals by a rookie defenseman with 20. Trails only Brian Leetch with 23 in 88-89. And the great Barry Beck with 22 back in 77-78.
Shoot the puck, Barry.
Among Islander lists, he has the ninth most goals in the season by an Islander defenseman with 20. Ahead of him in the top eight, Dennis Potvin every year.
Yeah, pretty much. We were just so young when Potvin played, I don't think we really appreciated how great he was. I mean, we knew he was the captain. We knew he was great. And then you watch hockey now, and you're like, wow, he was freaking amazing, and we didn't realize how good. Bossy and Trottier were just amazing players. We didn't realize. Sorry, Kevin.
We know Bobby Orr is number one all time.
Of course.
But somewhere between two and five and the top five there, Potvin's got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, Larry Robinson, Potvin, Bork. I mean, that's really where we're going.
Yep. So since the Olympic break, they've come out. They've got three wins. Schaefer's got 4 goals and assist in those three games to win the NHL Player of the Week also.
Yep.
Listen, that Sunday night game was amazing to watch. That was a blast against Florida.
Yeah.
Because Big Save Dave didn't make any big saves, but the Islanders kept bailing them out.
And, you know, now they start tonight with a 4-game road trip out west. They go to Anaheim, L.A., San Jose, finish up with St. Louis. You know, those first three games are tough games. If they can somehow, you know, let's be honest, 3 points in those three games and get the St. Louis win, come back with 5 points in 4 games, I'll take that. I'll sign up for that right now. Because after the road trip, the last 17 games, they've got 12 of them at home, only 5 road, including 10 of the last 12 at home. So the schedule breaks for them down the stretch here. They can make noise in the playoffs.
Yep, they can.
Interesting to see what they do with the deadline. A lot of rumors flying around that they're trying to acquire a couple of scorers. So
that's what they have to
keep an eye on it for Friday.
Yep. Any other hockey points, guys?
No, I mean, you kind of covered mine. I mean, the Rangers and Devils are starting to play a little bit better. The Devils have been more competitive since the break. Maybe the Hughes goal has got them a little bit propelled. You know, same thing with, you know, the Rangers have been a little more competitive. With Igor back, you know, record is winning record with Igor in there. It's just when he hasn't been there, they've had nothing. So hopefully the other New York teams will start playing a little bit better, even though they're going to, or the local teams, I should say, even though they're probably both going to sell here at the deadline.
All right, let's move over to some NBA. Knicks, 40-20, won 3 in a row. Had a good win against the Spurs, Kev.
Yeah, 3 in a row, 5 out of 6 since the break. Well, the first game they lost to Detroit since the Detroit game, 5 out of 6. In that 6-game stretch, they're giving up 99.3 points a game. We said a couple weeks ago when we were really breaking down the NBA for the first time, the Knicks are going to live and die by the defense. If they get any sort of defensive effort, they've got enough scoring there to make some noise. That Spurs game, probably their best game of the season.
No doubt. They beat
114-89. Spurs are coming on an 11-game winning streak. Wemby put up his 25. But if you're a Spurs fan, here's what's got to be frustrating. He shoots 8 for 17. 1 for 7 from 3-point range. 7 for 10 inside. Why are you shooting outside if you're not hitting them?
It's the new NBA.
I know that's part of your game, but you're 1 for 7. You're 7'8" or whatever you are.
With a wingspan of an 11-foot guy. I agree with you.
Get your head down low sometimes when you're not shooting. But that game, you know, Bridges 25, Brunson with 24, for others with double digits. I mean, that's the type of game that if the Knicks can do that consistently in the, you know, come playoff time. Again, you know, looks like we'd be Boston in that second round matchup. And then they'd have to try to figure out how to beat Detroit, who they haven't beaten yet this year.
Yeah, I don't worry about that yet. You know, because Detroit hasn't beaten anybody in the playoffs yet. But I was actually really impressed with the follow-up, with the win over Toronto. Usually the Knicks have a nice win and a letdown, and they did not. They played really well in Toronto. They're actually playing competitive tonight. They're down right now to the Thunder late. But, yes. They are playing
competitive. The tough game is single digits.
Yeah, they're down five at home. I mean, anything could happen. 341 games under 100 right now, but that's more Oklahoma City, that is a better defensive team than most, and that's why that happens.
All right, any other NBA before we move on?
Nah, we're going to get much more heavy into it after college, right, Kev?
Yep.
After
the college season's done.
All right, well, let's hit some baseball. So, Jerickson Profar failed another PED. He's out for the whole season, 162-game suspension.
Did you think you weren't going to catch you this time? Oh, I got him fooled this time. Okay, great.
They caught you once for 80, and now they got caught a second time for 162.
Genius.
WBC starts tomorrow, World Baseball Classic. Darren?
Hey, listen, it's the first round. It's the preliminary round. Americans are in Pool B. You know, here's the lineup, just in case you're curious. Bobby Witt Jr., Bryce Harper, Aaron Judge, Kyle Schwarber, Cal Raleigh, Roman Anthony, Bregman, Terang. You got Skubal and Skeens on the hill. I mean, they're in pretty good shape. But the Dominican lineup is the one that's interesting. And I'm not doing it by player by order, but Caminero, Vlad Jr., Machado, Tatis, Soto, J-Rod, O'Neill Cruz, Santana. I mean, they're stacked too. And they have Alcantara and Christopher Sanchez up top. You know, I don't know all the Japanese players because not all of them play here. But again, you got Ohtani, which is enough, right? You got Seiya Suzuki. You got Murakami, who signed with the White Sox. You got Yoshida. You got Akamoto, who signed with Toronto. You got Yamamoto and Kikuchi on the hill. Cuban Puerto Rico will be good. The Czechs, everybody gets excited about what Czechia did last time around. People are pumped up to see what they got. Great Britain, somewhat competitive, a little bit more than people expect. Australia has to travel to Japan, but they're okay with that. Korea's looking to rebound. I mean, there's a lot of fun. Italy actually pulled off some upsets. The Netherlands has been competitive in this tournament. Yeah, if it's not the top, I think it's going to be the U.S. versus Dominican Republic for the title. I think Japan won't make it there this time, just my opinion. I'll say the U.S. wins because I'm a loyalist, but that's just the way I'm going to go with it. But it should be exciting. Again, we're in preliminary rounds. The U.S. should be able to get past Pool B, and then we'll worry about it as we get into the quarterfinals and all that fun stuff.
Okay.
The only thing I know is that Nolan McLean's supposed to start against Italy.
Yep.
And then he would be lined up to start the championship game.
He's going to have to place Big Finny Pasquantino and the boys.
Why the F are you – why is McLean there?
Oh, God. He's going to get hurt.
Yes.
Everybody knows it.
He's going to be out there trying too hard in the championship game and get hurt. That's the Mets.
If you guys don't have anything else on baseball, I do have a couple of buried treasures I wanted to throw. But, G, you have something?
Yeah. George Lombard Jr. went yard again today off Crochet. I will say it one more time, and I will probably continue to say it every time he has a really good hitting day. That is the Yankee starting shortstop.
Well, you don't want to see Caballero?
No, I do, actually, and I think he'll place third base with McMahon.
And they tell us McMahon's going to play some shortstop in the spring, so we'll see what happens there. Again, may not need
him to play shortstop if Lombard's going to play like this, let me tell you.
Yeah, I watched Lombard last year play a little bit in the minors, and I was impressed by him, but we're going to see what he could do the rest of the way. The Mets have some exciting things going on too, right, Kev?
Yep. And then just before you get to your hidden gems then, Baltimore Orioles prospect, Vance Honeycutt. Have you heard of him?
I have not.
All right. He was a first round pick in the 2024 MLB draft.
Okay.
In 114 minor league games, he has hit 172.
Okay.
He's not in major league camp, but, you know, the minor leaguers come over every once in a while to pick up in the bat here or there in the games. He has had four spring training at bats. He has four home runs.
Oh, that's great.
Darren, your other hidden gems.
Well, I don't have hidden gems. I do buried treasures. One day we're going to get this together, the two of us. Before I get into them, first and foremost, Bruce Fleming passed away this week. Longtime major league umpire. You know, listen, Bruce was one of the good guys. He was a relatively good ump. He wasn't one that you complained a lot about. His son also umps. I mean, you know, so, you know, rest in peace, Bruce Fleming. I'm going to start with an NBA one. Then most of them are going to be baseball. So last week for Toronto, Trace Jackson Davis, okay, he entered the game for Toronto with 8.7 seconds remaining, okay? He collected a missed free throw from Wembanyama and then was subbed out with 8.4 seconds to go. So his stat line is equivalent to 7,200 rebounds per 36 minutes. I just wanted everyone to know that Chase Jackson Davis, he played 3/10 of a second, and that's what happened.
Oh, my God.
Baseball one that's interesting to me. Tim Anderson, remember him? Yeah. He had 90 in his career when he first came out. You know, he had 98 homers, 332 ribbies, 283 average, and on base percentage just under 750 in 3,482 at bats. Then Jose Ramirez punched him in the face, knocked him down. After that, he hit 202 with an OPS under 500, never hit another homer at 18 ribbies in 449 at bats.
Wow.
So one clock to the face knocked him out. So, Kev, the last player to start and finish all 162 games in the season is? Juan Pierre, 2004.
Juan Pierre. Wow.
Absolutely. Start and finish. So, here's an interesting one. Gene Tennis had a career batting average of 241. Okay. George Sisler had a career batting average of 340. Do you know that Tennis had the higher on-base percentage? He had a 388 to 379. They're 100 points apart, 99 points apart, and yet Gene Tennis had a higher on-base percentage by about 388 to 379. And then the last one, because this player has always been popular in everything we've ever known, on the final day of the 1910 season, you remember it, Gino.
St. Louis Browns
conceded 8 hits to Nat LeJoie to ensure that Ty Cobb did not win the batting title. You can't make it up. And those are my buried treasures for the week.
All right, boys. The March Madness is upon us. Darren, where would you like to start, buddy?
Well, listen, the conference tournaments are underway in some of the conferences, all right? Yes. And Kev's going to explain some of them to you. The Horizon kicked off Monday. So why don't you start there, Kev?
All right. The Horizon tournament. This one, let me pull it up here. So they have 11 teams in their conference. They have a play-in game between 10 and 11 to get down to 10 teams for the first round. 5 matchups. Well, that doesn't make sense because you got 5 winners. So let's just say, for argument's sake, the top 5 seeds all win. The lowest 2 seeds who won play the second-round game. That's the only second-round game. The winner of that game plays the highest remaining seed. The second and third seeds play the other semifinal game. Then the championship game, of course, is the winners there. So they go from a playing game, 5 first-round games, 1 second-round game, 2 semis. Have you ever heard of a tournament like that?
No. And then they all play on campus sites, so it makes it exciting.
For the early seeds, yep.
Yep, they start off on campus sites. So you have 5 extra conference games going on. Yep. Or actually more than that. But, yeah, it's exciting.
And the playing game, so 6.
6. Then Tuesday we had the Patriot kickoff, which is kind of standard. And the Sun Belt, Kev. Sun Belt's a little bit more confusing, I think, than the Horizon. That's just my opinion.
The Sun Belt, which will take – what, Darren, about 3.5 weeks to complete?
It'll be over when the tournament's over.
14 teams. Okay, well, you know, if you break it down, you know, you could play to get down to, like, 8, but no. 11 plays 14, 12 plays 13. Mm-hmm. The two winners advance. They play the 9 and 10 seeds, respectively. After that, the third round, 7th and 8th seeds get into the action. Winners there go to play the 5th and 6th seeds. Winners there get to play the next round and play the 3rd and 4th seed. Finally, after all those games, the 1st and 2nd seeds play the semifinals against the winners there and the champions crown from there. Wow. So if you're one of the bottom 4 seeds, you have to win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games.
Wow.
To win their conference tournament.
Now, I believe all these games are in Pensacola, so I think they're all in one spot, if I'm not
mistaken. They are in Pensacola, yes.
Which is, you know, right on the Alabama border. It gets really exciting. The Mobile-Pensacola, you know, Twin City type
wow.
thing. Then today, we started another.
I was going to say, before you go too much further, the West Coast will be very similar. They've got 12 teams in their conference. They'll have 9 play 12, 10 play 11. And again, then you move on and 7 and 8 get involved. Then you move on and 5 and 6 get involved and so on and so on. So it's just 4 less teams or 2 less teams, 1 less round, but same situation where they're going, those low seeds are going to have to win 6 games to win their conference
so
tournament.
I assume that all this is done to put more emphasis on you winning or playing well in your own conference so that you're not playing 5 games to actually get to the finals of your conference tournament.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I guess it's one way of separating good and bad teams, but still, that's a lot of games to be playing in a tournament.
I mean, for the West Coast, when you've got Gonzaga and St. Mary's, who's going to make it anyway, you don't need the advantage. For the Horizon, where you want to try to make sure your first and second seed gets into the tournament, you know, maybe this makes sense to give them an advantage, but
well, you just take the bottom
team for so many games in a row. Jeez,
that's still a lot of games.
The tournament, the top 12 teams or the top 8 teams get in, and right. just make it simple. But I get your point,
but it's still madness.
Well, understand that we have 31 automatic bids this year. Next year, it goes back up to 32 because the Pac-12 comes back. With that, you know, Gonzaga leaves the West Coast. Washington State leaves the West Coast. Oregon State leaves the West Coast. And the Mountain West gets kind of decapitated, too. So it's going to be a very different year next year. Today, we have the Atlantic Sun, the Big South, the Northeast, the Ohio Valley, and the Summit all started up today. So mm-hmm. we got a lot of different conferences going on. And we'll get more into that. But let's talk about the majors going on right now. Let's see who we think is in, who we think is out, where we're in agreement. Start with the ACC. Duke, Virginia, Miami, North Carolina, Louisville. Do you feel that they're locks, guys?
Yes. No change from last week.
I have them as locks. I have Clemson and NC State as should be in. I don't have them as locks yet because NC State has really tumbled down the stretch. But I have them should be in, especially North Carolina, Clemson. I mean, giving a good game to North Carolina and coming off a win. You guys agree with that, or you think I have them too down low?
Nope, I have them in.
I have all 7 as locks.
Okay. SMU loses tonight at home to Miami. They still in. They're bubble in real close. Their last game is at Florida State.
Bubble in for me.
I had them in.
Okay.
Kind of off the bubble.
I have them on the bubble squarely. And if they lose to Florida State, then they're going to have to lose the damage.
No, absolutely.
The American Athletic, okay. Is South Florida a bubble team if they don't win the conference tournament?
No.
Okay.
Jake? I just don't think they have a resume strong enough.
Okay. We're going to go through that. Interestingly enough, we're going to go through that in a little while, guys.
Their conference net is 159. I don't think they deserve 2 bids. I think it's a 1-bid conference.
Okay. Atlantic 10. Is St. Louis in regardless, or are they a bubble?
St. Louis is a lock to me.
Okay. What about VCU?
No, I think VCU has a chance to get in. At the moment, I think it's a 1-bid league. However, I did this week move them in and move somebody out. So at the moment, I have them at 2. But those two need to be playing in their conference final.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other stuff doesn't happen for me to put them both in, I think, at this point.
Okay. VCU is my 69th team.
They're my 67. So
they are one away.
I have them one in, and you have them two in, and you have them one out.
Yep.
The Big 12. So Arizona, Houston, Texas Tech, Kansas, Iowa State, still BYU, all in, all six.
Yep.
Despite BYU slumping a little lately.
Yep.
Yes.
Where do you have UCF and TCU, boys?
Should be in.
I have TCU in. I have UCF out.
Okay. I have them both in, but both on the bubble still. They're bubble ins to me.
I have TCU in. Wait, which one do I have in?
UCF I have TCU more in.
And TCU bubble, but, you know, ran those last eight teams in there.
Okay. So I have the same thing. I have TCU in, UCF out, but to me, those are two of the eight left, right on the cusp.
Gotcha. Big East, UConn, St. John's, Villanova, all in.
Yep. Yeah.
Seton Hall, bubble.
No.
I have them outside the bubble.
I am right on the bubble. They beat St. John's. I think they have a shot here.
They are 2-4 in quad one. For me, they're out completely.
Okay.
The only chance for them is they got to run the table in the Big East tournament.
I think they're much closer than you do, but that's me. Big Ten, Michigan, Nebraska, Michigan State, Illinois, Purdue, Wisconsin, all locks, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Iowa and UCLA should be in at this point. At the UCLA had the big win last night. I put them to should be in off of bubble. That's me.
UCLA should be in. Iowa locked to me.
Okay. And Ohio State, Indiana, USC.
I have Ohio State. Among my last teams in, I have Indiana in that first four out, and USC is falling off, and with what's his name injured?
Not injured. He walked away.
Walked away from the team, yeah. I should say.
He sat in the crowd after when he left to go to the locker room. Then he sat in the crowd.
Yeah,
a little bit. I have 10 in.
Okay, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
UCLA to me is my 10th. Team in from that conference, and USC is at the moment out.
Okay, I have 8 in, and I have 8 in. I have no Indiana and no USC.
I have 9 in.
Hold on one second. I'm doing the math wrong.
UCLA, Iowa.
I have 9 in. I miss Michigan.
We were in agreement there, yep.
Yep, I have 9 in. I have Ohio State in. They had a blowout win tonight against Penn State on the road. Indiana had a blowout win tonight against Minnesota at home. USC plays later at Washington. Mid-American, 30-0. Are they in? I'm sorry, G.
The one thing that if you really start digging into Ohio State, and I have them in, by the way, but the one thing that you really look at is they are 2-10 against quad one.
Well, last week they were 0.
I mean,
last week they were 0 for the quad one. I know somebody moved up, but, you know, they're not 2-10.
Oof.
All 11 losses are quad one and two.
We're going to get into that in a minute. Don't worry about that. We're going to go into the quads in a minute. I promise you. Mid-American, Miami of Ohio, 30-0. Are they in if they don't win the conference tournament?
I put them in. I think they deserve to be in. I mean, you go 30-0. I know.
Well, 27. 27. I mean, they got three non-division one games. 27.
They played 30 games on the schedule. They won 30 games. I'm going to give them 30.
Yep. I know they've only got one quad two, no quad ones, but you still reward a team that's had a great year. I still put them in.
Absolutely, you know? Not. No way. No how. Not even close. Not even for a second. The conference net is 200. You know what their record is against quad one? They don't have one.
I'm aware.
Yeah, I know.
They have one game against a quad one team, and they're 1-0. So all their games are quad three, quad four. Oh, wait. Or non-division one games? That's where they got their 27 wins from? Who they play in Queens College in Flushing? No. No way.
But we don't know if they play Queens College in North Carolina. We have to look that up.
We don't want to talk about Queens College from North Carolina.
This is a one bid conference. Sorry.
Okay. Missouri Valley. Belmont have any chance?
No.
The Bruins are having a hell of a year with a net in the 50s. I'm just pointing them out. That's it.
Net in the 50s. Again, no quad one games.
Yep, exactly.
And, you know, they've got three quad three losses.
I don't disagree with you. They lost their last game to Illinois State. Had they won that and were 27-4, I might have looked at them slightly differently. Also, I have Akron still in consideration, by the way, and I'm the only one. I know that. Mountain West.
Wait. You have Akron in consideration for what?
Like they're like my 76 team. A lot of things have to happen. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say they're not my first four out, but my next four out. They're the last team in my next four. I mean, a lot of stuff has to happen.
So what happens if they lose to Miami of Ohio in the conference final by five? You're going to put them in?
That, it depends on what the seven teams in front of them do. I got to be honest.
Well, listen, if they win, they're in. And then the question is, what happens to Miami of Ohio?
Now,
if
me and Kev would both put them in. You would not.
Well, I understand. Yeah. But if they don't win, so you're then saying that they deserve a bubble bid at that
the
point?
Rest of they're
my eighth team out. So a lot of stuff has to happen. That's all. Okay. Sorry, Kev. What were we saying?
I think that's fair. I mean, the rest of the bubble has to really pop for them to be considered. But yeah, Dad, I've got them right around the same spot you do, 76, 77, right in that area.
Mountain West, Utah State. I moved them from lock to should be in because they got blown out last night at UNLV. They've struggled a little bit down the stretch. I still think they're going to get in. I just don't think they've been as impressive as I thought they were going to be earlier in the year. You guys have them in?
I have them in.
So I have them in, but please finish, and then I'll make my point.
Then New Mexico and San Diego State are the two bubble teams.
Is this a bad conference overall? I mean,
it's a mediocre conference. This is not your typical San Diego State. Boise State is down, and Colorado State is down. These are teams that have been competitive up top in this league for many years with Utah State. So
I took out after the loss last night. I took San Diego State out and put VCU in, and that was Team 68.
Kev?
I was doing this yesterday, so I didn't have that loss. I know, at least looking ahead there, Utah State's in. New Mexico, you look at the other bubble teams, you know, they've got the wins against Santa Clara and at VCU. To me, that holds a lot of weight. And then San Diego State, boy, with that loss, maybe that knocks them off. Because San Diego State was my 68th and final team in. Like I said, VCU was 69. So with San Diego State's loss last night, I might just have to put VCU in. And take
Do you have Utah State firmly in?
Yes.
I have them should be in. I don't have them as a lock. I didn't put them in the lock category.
I'm sorry, Darren, repeat that. I apologize.
I didn't put them in the lock category. I think they should be in, but I didn't make them a lock.
They lost by 27 to UNLV last night.
Yep, they did.
I don't know. They're 3-4 quad one. I don't know. I don't know if they're a lock. I'll put it to you that way.
Okay.
At the moment, I think they're only getting two from that conference in, but we'll see how this starts playing out.
SEC. I have three, maybe down to two, and A-10 might be up to two. So that might be my switch there.
Okay.
I have the two also, and I've had VCU in for many weeks.
Kev, that was my switch. So we're right on the button.
There you go. I had them in already. I liked them. So Florida, Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. And I made Georgia a lock last night off their win against Bama. I have those six as locks.
Can you just do that one more time?
Florida, Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Georgia with Kentucky as it should be in.
Yep.
So I have seven locks, or six locks and one that I expect to get in. And then
have Texas as a lock?
Well, they lost by 20 tonight to Arkansas. They're 17-12. I can't give a 17-team win a lock just yet. I think they got to do something. Auburn, Missouri, Texas A&M, Texas. Those are the four on the bubble as far as Oklahoma you could put on there if you want. I didn't yet because their net's still in the 60s. But thoughts to you guys on those other teams?
I have – let me tell you, Kevin, then you can go because you're going to talk longer than me. I have 10 in. I have Auburn out. I don't have Oklahoma on this list at this point. But other than the five, six you named, I have Texas, Kentucky, Texas A&M, and Missouri in. Missouri is like 67 to me.
Okay.
So, but Auburn I do not have in. But we talked about this last week. If some of those – a couple of those teams switch, I wouldn't be surprised. Kev?
Almost ditto to what you just said. I have Auburn out. Too many losses.
Yep. You got to win some games.
Missouri, you know, I mean, they're sitting there towards in the top half of the SEC. They've got 20 wins on the season. I know the net's not as strong, but I've got them in, you know, I got at least one or two of these teams in probably the play-in, the first four game. But I would say Missouri, Texas A&M, Texas are somewhere in that last four in, last four buys type of area. And Georgia a little bit above that, yep.
Darren, what you, how many do you have in?
I have nine in.
So who don't you have in?
I didn't have A&M, and now they won last night, so I put them back in. I took Missouri out.
You took Missouri out. Wow.
Why? So you don't have Missouri in, and who else don't you have in? Georgia?
I have Georgia in. I have no Missouri, no Auburn.
We're all in agreement on Auburn.
Yeah, I have Texas, A&M, Texas, Kentucky, Florida, Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Vandy, Georgia. I don't have Oklahoma in, and I took Missouri out. Now, Missouri's got one game left. It's home game against Arkansas. That could turn the entire tide of this or the SEC tournament. I think they're going to need to get a good win to get in my opinion. And then the final conference that we're going to touch on is the West Coast, boys. Gonzaga and St. Mary's are locks. Gee, I don't know if you got that bet in for Gonzaga laying 2.5 that night. I don't know if you did it. Did you get it in? Sorry. St. Mary's pulled away in the second half. Santa Clara on the bubble?
I have Santa Clara in.
I have them in at 67.
I have them in at 68. Okay.
41 net, 41 web. I have them in.
Okay, now let's do a couple blind resumes just for, as we like to say, shits and giggles where I grew up. All right. Hey, let's start. Well, how about this matchup? Okay, Team A is 24-7, okay? Team B is 21-7. Team A has a KenPom of 39. Team B has a KenPom of 44. Team A has a 10-6 record, neutral or home or road, I should say. Road or neutral record. Team B has an 8-5 record, neutral or road. Team A is 1-5 against Quad 1. Team B is 2-5 against Quad 1. Team A is 7-1 against Quad 2. Team B is 6-1 against Quad 2. If you had to pick between those two, and I'll repeat anything you need.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot.
They're the same team.
Can I guess who the teams are?
Go ahead.
St. Mary's, Santa Clara.
No, not St. Mary's, but you are right about Santa Clara. Santa Clara is Team A.
New Mexico is Team B?
Yep.
I had them both.
Which one do you like better? It's close, right? Most of us have New Mexico a little bit further ahead than Santa Clara in this, and this is closer than it looks.
New Mexico, because they also have the head-to-head against Santa Clara.
Okay. G, same? You would go with Team B?
I think I would have New Mexico over Santa Clara there.
Okay. I'm just saying the KenPom numbers are going to lead toward the record, and the KenPom are going to lean toward Santa Clara. The record on road and neutral. They don't do the last 10, which I used to like. The fact that they don't judge off, that kind of pisses me off. Here's another one for some fun. Team A versus Team B. Team A is going to be 18-11. Team B is going to be 20-10. Team A is a 34 KenPom. Team B is a 42. Team A is 5-8 road and neutral. Team B is 7-5 road and neutral. Team A is 2-10 against Quad 1. Team B is 5-7 against Quad 1. Team A is 6-1 against Quad 2. Team B is 5-1 against Quad 2.
I know the one is Ohio State.
Yep, it is. That's Team A.
Is the other one USC?
No.
Is it same conference?
Nope.
Okay. Give me the other team again.
The whole thing? 20-10, KenPom of 42, 7-5.
We figured out that it's definitely Ohio State.
Which of the two resumes do you like better? I don't really care what the other team is.
No, give me the other one again.
Okay, 20-10, 42 KenPom, 7-5 road neutral, 5-7 quad one, 5-1 quad two.
Is the other one Missouri?
That's no. Close.
Nope. No.
That is close.
It's TCU.
It is TCU. Ooh. Oh, geez. I had TCU written down here, too.
That is close.
It's close, right?
It's but very
we
close.
We all have yeah. TCU ahead of Ohio State right now. We didn't until they won last night. And then you see the TCU win at Texas Tech, and you say, wow, Ohio State struggles more. I'm just saying. So it's close. It's closer than we think sometimes when you go through some of these numbers. Here's another fun one for you.
I'm also sorry. Look at TCU. They have a quad three and a quad four loss, too.
Well, they lost their opening night
against
New Orleans, right? They were down 20-something. They stole back, lost by three.
Yeah.
I know it's a quad four loss, but it's the first night of the season with a bunch of transfers. I give them a breather on that, but that's just me. But I get your point. Okay. Here's one that's fun, okay? Team one, 23-7. Team two, 20-10. Team 1 has a KenPom of 46. Team 2 has a KenPom of 59. Team 1 is 8-5 road and neutral. Team B is 6-7 road neutral. Team 1 is 1-5 quad 1. Team 2 is 5-6 quad 1. Team 1 is 4-2 quad 2. Team B is 5-4 quad 2.
Okay.
It's VCU.
Yep.
Yeah. Missouri.
Yep.
Okay.
Do you think one resume is that much better than the other?
You and I were right on this one because I saw VCU coming a mile away too.
Well, listen, when you guys are sitting there studying the Nets, it's hard to get through. When I have 23-7, you guys see that immediately. It narrows it, you know.
Especially since they have the records right here on my paper.
What resume you think is better?
You know, it's funny you say this one because when I was going through VCU trying to figure out if I wanted to put them in, I was going through all these teams that I had on the bubble, and I wound up taking out San Diego State. But comparing it to Missouri and comparing it to Ohio State, those are the exact teams I was doing it for. You know, if you're just going blind, it's probably VCU.
I think they have a better resume. I know the quad ones don't say that.
Yes.
The quad one record, 5-6 versus 1-5, doesn't say that. But everything else kind of does, though.
And you know this, but part of that reasoning is that you're comparing team from the A-10 against the SEC.
Yep.
So those quad ones in the SEC – you know, if they're playing Florida and Vanderbilt, and you know, it just goes on and on. Those bigger teams, they're going to have a worse quad one record.
I get it.
Wow, that's if you're just going blind record, that's some interesting stuff, Darren.
Let's take a look because Missouri's non-conference must have been awful.
It was
because you know you look at 20-9 overall, 10-9 against quad one and two in the SEC, and they're only 53rd.
Yeah, that's the net. The KenPom's 59. I mean, it's a real low KenPom.
Well, let me ask you this. So last night when I put VCU in and took San Diego State out, what do you guys think San Diego State versus Missouri? Because that was a couple of the teams I was going through.
Well, here it is. San Diego State, 19-10, KenPom of 44, 6-8 road neutral, 2-6 quad one, 5-3 quad two. Missouri again, 20-10, 59 KenPom, 6-7 road neutral, 5-6 quad one, 5-4 quad two.
That's real
close. It's really close.
The resumes really close. Are real close.
Because Missouri's road wins mostly are not conference wins, right? So their road neutral is a little deceiving because it looks a little bit better than it is, but they've beaten everybody. T.O. Barrett is a stud at home. They get blown out on the road sometimes. Here's one for you fun guys here. Team 1, 20-9. Team 2, 20-9. Team 1, KenPom 48. Team 2, KenPom 49. Team 1, 7-4 road neutral. Team 2, 9-6 road neutral.
Oh, you're going right on the button now. Go ahead.
Team 1, 5-5 in quad one. Team two, 2-2, quad one. Team one, 5-3, quad two. Team two, 4-3, quad two.
Oh, my God. That was splitting hairs.
I'm telling you. Now, again, this is KenPom, so it's not Nets, so it's a little different.
All right. No, I know.
But I knew you guys would know the Nets by heart, so I couldn't do it.
San Diego State?
No.
Oh.
The proximity of these two schools is kind of fun.
I think I want team one.
Okay.
Of those two.
But by a lot or they? Real close?
Boy, it is close.
They're real close. Hey,
team one is UCF, U Central Florida. Team two is USF, South Florida.
Oh, wow.
Just to show you what South Florida's resume kind of looks like. I know the conference doesn't look great.
Now, I have both of those out. Go ahead.
You have UCF out and USF out. Okay.
Yeah.
And then let's do this one because I know you wanted this one. You brought it up just before. Team 1, 19-10. Team 2, 19-10. This is going into tonight, guys. This is before tonight.
Okay,
so
right.
Everything will change. Team 1, KenPom 44. Team 2, KenPom 41. Team 1, road neutral 6-8. Team 2, road neutral 4-8. Team 1, quad 1, 2-6. Team 2, quad 1, 4-8. Team one, quad one, 5-3. Team two, quad one, quad two, 3-2.
Man.
One barely?
Yeah.
Okay.
But really barely.
San Diego State is one. SMU is two. And SMU got blown out, got beaten up at home tonight. They didn't get blown out because they closed the gap. They lost to Miami tonight. So they just fell to 19-11. We all had SMU much further ahead than San Diego State, right?
I'm just
saying. Yeah. And we all vote. Well, it's really close. You could go either way with 1-2 here. That's how close some of these resumes are. Now, again, different competition in some of these quad one and quad two matchups. But it's interesting when you look at it, isn't it?
I mean, some of it, I don't know about you. I still get, I mean, there's still an influence on my part in some way about the conference they play in also.
Oh, it definitely is. That's why it's a blind resume. It's not going to mean that you would automatically take this team over that team.
Yep.
But when you look at the way it is, they're closer than you think. I mean, listen, I could do 40 of these, and we could have fun with this all day long. Because, you know, I can sit there and throw Seton Hall in. I can sit there and throw UCLA in. I can throw Indiana in. I mean, I have a bunch of them, but it would be too much. But the blind resume thing is tight. But, yeah, it's wild. I think it's kind of fun.
Hey, Darren, opinion.
Yeah.
And I think we may have touched on that last week a little bit, too. I personally think this is a very, very good bubble this year as opposed to other years where we're looking to put teams in. This one, I think we're trying to find teams to take out. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, the most confusing one to me is Auburn and how high all the pundits have them. I know that they have 5 wins, but they have 11 losses, and you got to win some of the games. If you're going to play the schedule, you got to win it. You know,
Yep. You
can't lose. Like before, UCLA got a little hot at the end, and still they're not a lock to get in. I think they should be in, but they're no lock. But they played Gonzaga. They played Arizona. They played who's the other one that they played? Another big-time school, and they lost all of them. And you're like, well, that's great. You scheduled them. You got to win one. You know, and when you don't, it's something. Same thing goes for Auburn. I know they won a couple. They beat Florida at Florida, which has a ton of weight because Florida might be the best team in the country right now the way they're playing. But, you know, you got to win it. You can't be 500 and get into this tournament, in my opinion, or just above it. I remember when I was a kid, this is going to sound so stupid, remember 1984 Villanova Wildcats. They got into the tournament at 16-13 when that was unheard of.
Yeah,
because they beat Georgetown. Georgetown only had 2 losses. One of them was to Nova, and they put them in based on that. And they won their first round game, lost in the second round to Illinois. But it's like, you know, but you don't see teams close to 500, you know, getting into this, and you shouldn't see it, in my opinion. It should be for teams that are above average.
I really hate, you know, to me, 12 is the cutoff for the most part.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything more than 12 losses,
13s though, because Texas is not going to win the big 12, right?
Yep.
They already have 12. Now, if you think Texas has a good shot, now listen, they have 1 game left. Who do they have? I'm not trying to look here. Hold on 1 second. They just have Texas plays Oklahoma at home. So it's a winnable game. They should win it, but who knows? Oklahoma's playing well right now. You don't know. Auburn has to go to Alabama. Missouri has to host Arkansas. Texas A&M has the easiest one. They play at LSU. So, I mean, there's a lot to look at in the way it's going to go. But I do think it's a stronger bubble than we've seen probably the last 3 or 4 years. Jake?
Yeah.
Well, and listen, this is kind of the same discussion we kind of have year after year after year, which is, are you putting in the 68 best teams or are you putting in the 68 most deserved? Because when we get to these bubbles, you're going to have to tell me that Miami, Ohio deserves to be in. But if you're comparing them to one of these teams in the SEC, the 10th team in the SEC, the resumes are not going to compare. There's no way they can when the SEC, the 10th SEC team is playing all of those big teams. So
here's my only question to that, Gino. Let's say, who would you say the 10th SEC team is in the SEC? Who's the 10th team? Just pick which one.
Off my sheet,
yeah.
It was Missouri.
Can Missouri win the national championship, in your opinion?
No.
Then who cares?
Listen, I'm going to agree with you.
If you don't have a chance to advance, I don't want to hear your argument why a team that goes 30-0 should finish behind you. Do you think they have a chance to win a national championship, Kev? Can Missouri run the table? No.
No.
But when we get to the field of 68, Darren, I only think 10 teams have really a chance to win it. So you're going to tell me 58 teams doesn't matter.
Do you think Missouri has a chance to get to the Elite Eight? Sweet 16.
But I don't think Miami of Ohio does either.
Yeah, but we don't know because they haven't lost and they may lose one game. And you know what? Sometimes the pressure of not losing a game, you know, you lose the one, it might take that pressure back. I'm just saying, a team that played their schedule, and listen, I don't see Missouri saying, you know, let's call up Miami and see if we can go to their place to play. And I don't see any of these other schools saying, let's go play at Miami. Let's go see what the Red Hawks have. Nobody's doing that. So it's not like it's a fair thing. If Miami wants to play these teams, they have to play them on the road.
Listen, I'm with you.
Oh, I get it.
And I understand. But at the end of the day, when we start really digging into this and coming up with the 68 to see how many we actually get right, it's really then going to be, who do you think the committee is going to put in?
No doubt.
Because at the end of the day, whether we think the Atlantic 10 should get two teams in or not, doesn't matter at that point. You know, listen, and Miami of Ohio is the one that kind of gets that. That's the one that gets you because they got one more game left. You know, chances are they wind up going 28-0 in Division One, right? Yep. They're probably, and that's the way I'll phrase it, going to get two more wins in their tournament, so they're going to get to 30. So even in the finals, if they lost to Akron, so you're taking a team that goes 31-1 and you're not putting them in?
Because they lost to a team that's 29-5. And again, I'm not saying Akron is at the same level as some of the other teams. But if you watch them play, they're not. I think Akron's better than Miami when I watch them play, to be honest with you.
Listen, the only thing is that at that point then it's like, okay, so you're not putting them in because they played nobody. That's why you're not putting them in at that point. Because although they got 31 wins, they're playing Eastern Michigan and Western Michigan and Central Michigan and Ball State and
you're right,
Buffalo and Bowling Green and Northern Illinois. And, you know, you take teams like Missouri, although they're fighting Auburn theoretically for the 10th spot, you know, they got Florida, Alabama, and Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee. You know,
everything you're saying is 1,000% right.
I wish we had more guidance from the tournament directorships and from the committee as to what they're going to do, because it seems to change every couple of years. We think that they're going to award these teams and they don't.
No, you're right.
And we're looking the other way again. So
I'm just going to run through the other conferences. Their tournaments are starting, just who the top seed is right now, what their net is, so you have an idea what we're looking at, guys. So American East right now, that's the UMBC Retrievers, net 206. They're going to be a 16 seed. American Athletic is the South Florida Bulls, okay? Net of 49. I made my story for you why they could get in, okay? Doesn't mean that they will, but I made my story for you. The Ace Sun, the great Central Arkansas Bears. I know you've been following them closely, Gino. Net 164. The Big Sky, well, Portland. I'm sorry, Kev.
Lake Sun, Austin Peay's right there, too.
Yeah, they're tied, but the one seed. I'm just giving you the one seed based on conference. The governor's shirt is on, Gino, right now. Big Sky, Portland State Vikings, 140 net. The Big South, the High Point Panthers, dangerous team if they get in, net 78.
The 27 and 4.
What was that?
27-4.
I know. That's a team that could get the 30 wins.
Yep.
Big West, Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, 103. They're tied with Irvine and a couple other teams, but they are the right now technically the one seed. The CAA, the UNC Wilmington Seahawks, the days of Brent Blizzard of God, but they're back, net of 91. Conference USA, the Liberty Flames, net of 94. Horizon Conference, the Wright State Raiders, net of 143. The Ivy, Yale Bulldogs, net of 68. Good record, but they would never get an at-large. The MAC, your Merry MAC Warriors, net 185. The MEAC, the Howard Bison, net 203. The MVC, Missouri Valley. The Belmont Bruins, net 54, better than people realize. The OVC, the Tennessee State Tigers, net 188. The Patriot, the Navy Midshipmen, they won their conference by six games, net 126.
Go Navy.
What?
Go Navy.
Go Navy. Southern Conference, East Tennessee State, the Buccaneers of the great Keith Mr. Jennings back in the day with a couple upsets, net 127. The Southland. A familiar name, the Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks, net 85. Good record for them. Yes, Kevin.
Yeah, that's going to be good if they make the finals against McNeese State because they're an excellent team too.
Here's one I've never seen in the tournament. I'm not sure if they've ever been. They might have. I'm not sure. The SWAC, Bethune-Cookman right now with the lead. The Wildcats, they're in the SWAC, Southwest Athletic Association. They're from Daytona Beach. I don't know how that's the Southwest, but that's fine. Net 245, they're definitely in the play-in game.
That's a conference that could very easily have a losing record make the tournament.
No doubt about it. And it usually does, actually, by the way. There's never really a good team in that league. The Summit has North Dakota State Bison, net 118. The Sun Belt, the Troy Trojans, net 138. And the WAC, the Utah Valley Wolverines, net 83. So those are the conferences outside of the ones we mentioned earlier and where they're going to probably fall if the top seed gets in. We're going to see some upsets. Yes, Jay.
Bethune-Cookman has never made an appearance.
All right. I didn't think I've ever seen
one of those.
That's the thing that we've seen the box scores for years. I couldn't tell you anything. I had to look up where the school was. I didn't know where it was. I'm like, how was a school from Daytona in the Southwest Athletic? Okay, fine. Obviously, it's the Southeast Athletic didn't exist, so they're out there. But that's what I got for college basketball. What else you guys got? Anything else?
That's it.
Nope. You guys have anything else you want to touch on before we wrap up?
One more show next week, and then it's the tournament show.
The live show. Give us a listen. We'll have it out early. I promise you. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. Darren here with Kevin here with Gino talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where three idiots love college basketball so much we can spend 45 minutes on it. We can spend 40, 45 hours on it. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. We post a lot on social. Please like our stuff. Please share our stuff. If you don't like it, pretend you like it and share it anyway. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save